Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Let's take the Word of God, and we will go to the Old Testament, to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 1. And if you remember, I chose this series that we want to begin, and last Sunday night was the very first service or the first message on that. So if you'll find the book of Matthew, turn back a few pages, you'll come to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, chapter number 1. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And, you know, during especially the holiday season, during the winter time, it takes a little more effort to get to church. But I want to encourage you to be faithful and thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And, you know, the truth is, at Christmas time, it really is the reason for us to celebrate is about the Lord Jesus. And so I pray that we can be in His house, worshiping Him and being together as God's people. We come to Habakkuk chapter number 1, and last Sunday night I gave you kind of an overview of the prophet Habakkuk and what was going on in the nation at that time and how that he was on the eve of captivity. He knew that the nation of Babylon was coming and they were going to take into captivity the land of Judah where he was. Because the people of God had turned their back on the Lord, God was sending a ruthless nation to come and bring judgment upon them. And Habakkuk does something in chapter 1 here in verses 1 through 4. Let's read it together, and then I want to preach to you this message tonight. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Would you go back to verse number 3, and I want you to circle or underline the first word of verse number 3, why. And tonight I want to preach to you on this message. When God does not tell you why. I'm sure that every one of us tonight, there have been times in life when we have asked God why. I don't believe it's wrong to ask God why, because here is the prophet, he is saying, why, God? Why, God, have you allowed this nation to come in? Why, God, does there seems to be no judgment? Why, God, are the wicked winning? I believe all of us tonight, we have things in our heart that we don't really know the answer to. And by the way, I believe people are well-meaning, but sometimes people can say, well, one day you'll know why. But you know what? God's Word does not give us that promise. There are things in my life right now that I still do not know why. I don't know why. I'm sure all of you tonight have things that you think, why did God allow this to happen? By the way, let's be honest, all right? I know Friday when I went to the school and I preached to the young people, and I preached about, obviously, death, and I preached about this young lady. But can I ask you a question? I don't want you to answer it, but why does God allow some children to get cancer and some not to get cancer? Why does God allow some kids to be healthy and some kids not to be healthy? Listen, there are some questions in life that we just don't have the answers to. In fact, no man has the answers to those things. I'm sure all of us can think to about things. I know my daughter, where she's at college, there was a family with a man, I think just very young in many ways, 50-something years old, had a massive heart attack and went out into eternity. I've heard of others where in just a moment, the Lord calls them home. We would think, we would say, Lord, that's not the best thing. We need them here, or whatever it may be. But there are times in life when God does not answer our whys. Here, Habakkuk, he is wondering, God, you're eternal, you are faithful, you are just, you are good, but why is this happening? Now, understand the scenery of what is going on. We know that Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah and Habakkuk were contemporaries, meaning they were friends, they preached and served at the same time. And Jeremiah had been commissioned by God to go to the nation of Judah and to say, you better turn to God or God's going to send judgment. You know the story, Jehoiakim, as I preached on last week, Jeremiah came in with the message from the Lord. And God told them that if you will turn to me, I will save you, I will cleanse you, and I will give you revival. But Jehoiakim, you know what he did? He took the message from God, the word of God, he cut it up with a penknife, and he threw it in the fire. The idea was, we don't want God, and we don't want his word. So guess what happened? Judgment is coming. And here Habakkuk is troubled. And by the way, remember Habakkuk's name, you know what it means? It means one who embraces, or one who clings, or one who wrestles. And in a sense, Habakkuk wraps his arms around the Lord and he prays. And you know what he asks for? He asks for an answer. He says, God, why? God doesn't answer him. God does not reveal to him why he has brought this and why God has allowed this to happen. And by the way, although Habakkuk's prayer was given many centuries ago, he asked the same questions and he dealt with the same problems that you and I deal with today. He asked why. And folks, tonight, this is a question that all people ask, but no one really can answer. You know, I've had people ask me, and by the way, pastors don't have all the answers. Pastors don't have any more, we don't have any more revelation from God than what is revealed to us in the Word of God. And sometimes people have asked me, Pastor, why did that happen? And I have to be honest and say, I don't know why. I don't have the answer. I don't understand it all. And this past Friday, and I keep going back to the school, but if you could have been with me, you would have seen broken-hearted young people. And by the way, many of them not knowing where to turn to in their grief. Who do they turn to? What do they deal with? The grief. And praise be to God, it was a wonderful thing to be able to go in and to read the Word of God and talk about life and death and how the Lord helps us and to see God work in their hearts and give them rest. It really was. In fact, the principal was there today at the visitation and he thanked me. He said, Pastor, thank you for coming in. It helped our students. It ministered to them. And you know what? What a blessing it is. Because folks, may I say this to you? We don't have the answers, but there is one that does have all the answers. And that's who we bring people to, the Lord Jesus Christ. Habakkuk is wrapping his arms around God. And he is saying, God, why? Why? And brethren, may I say to you, that is where God wants to bring each and every one of us, to wrap our arms around him per se, and to draw nigh to him. You see, Habakkuk cried out to God, declaring that God would not hear him. Then he asked God, why? Why is this going on? If God is eternal, and if God is almighty and all-powerful, then why does he allow this to happen? I've been with people before, and they have, in a sense, said the same thing to me. Sometimes when we think about the spiritual darkness in our nation, we are tempted to ask God why. Why does God allow such wickedness to take place? Why does God allow, it seems as if the wicked are winning in some ways? In fact, David said back in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 8, may I read it to you? He said, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. That's what David said. David said, vile men are being exalted and being lifted up, and the wicked walk on every side. And David was troubled about this. Why, God? Why do you allow such oppression and such wickedness? You look in the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find Solomon asking the same questions that no one could answer. Now tonight, what do we do? What do you do when you have questions? By the way, many times during tragedy, people might say, I know I'm not supposed to ask, but I wonder why this is happening. There are times when it seems that our problems are insurmountable and that we have no idea what to do and where to turn to. And we know there is a God in heaven and we know that God is in control, but why does God allow certain things to happen? And by the way, in our understanding, we think, Lord, this makes no sense to me. God, I have no way of wrapping my mind around why this is happening. That's why the Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 4, where God gives us the peace of God, which passeth all, what? Understanding. It goes beyond that, meaning we can't understand, but God gives us peace. He gives us rest. And folks, tonight, perhaps something takes place in your life that you have no answer for. In fact, it could be something that can never be corrected. It might be something that can never be changed, and you know that it cannot be changed. And when this happens, we wonder why God has allowed it to happen. Folks, if you have not asked God why, you will one day. In fact, if there is a God in heaven and He is mighty, and we know that He is, why does God allow certain things to happen? Someone may ask, why has God allowed this terrible thing to take place in my home? Why has God hasn't saved my son? Why doesn't God bring my daughter back? Why has God allowed my husband to leave me? Why is all this going on? The question why is something that all of us ask, but we do not have an answer. Back in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 3, why? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Look at verse 4, read it again. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Here Habakkuk is saying, God, I am praying, I am seeking thy face, but why? So tonight, I want to give you some simple principles that I believe that we can find in the Bible about to help us when God does not answer our why. Number one tonight, I want you to write down some things if you would please. Tonight, number one, when God doesn't answer why, what can we rest on? Where can be our foundation? What can we trust in? Number one, we are loved by God. Now that's so important. And do you know this week when I was with the kids, I talked to them about the love of God. Why is it so important to rest our lack of knowing why on the foundational principle that we are loved by God? Because that's the very thing the devil targets. It really is. In fact, do you know tonight that really we cannot understand anything until we realize that God loves us. Now take your Bibles and go back to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3. All right, you're there in Habakkuk, so turn back in the Old Testament. Here is something so wonderful. Tonight, do you know that you are loved by God? You're loved by God. And there is nothing that you could ever do to make God stop loving you or to love you even more. Now, why is that so hard for us? I'll tell you why it's hard. It's because we associate God's love with the human love. And there is such a vast difference. Do you know that, in fact, many people have dealt with someone that said, I love you, but then did not love them? And so in their minds, they think, is love real? And is there really anyone that loves you? But there is a God in heaven who loves you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you do, good or bad, ever in your life, that God loves you with an immeasurable love. And it's an everlasting love. It's a love that never changes. It's unchanging. It's an uncaused love. We did nothing to earn His love. It's a love like no other love. And folks, tonight, when you have things that you think, I don't understand. Look, you don't know how many times people come to my office. And I'm thankful for that. but they come weeping and they want me to pray with them. And I love that. I'm their under shepherd. I'm thank God for that privilege. But I don't have the answers. I cannot say to them, hey, look, I'm going to tell you why God is doing this. Because I do not know. I pray with them. I try to help them. I try to encourage them. But brethren, there are things in life that are unsolved mysteries that we just don't know why. But if we can rest on this one foundational truth that we are loved by God. Amen. That God loves us. Look here, God loves me tonight and He loves you. And that therefore means if He loves me, then what He has allowed into my life, although I may never understand why, God has a reason for it. He has a reason. Now, there are some things in life that I think all of us can look back on and we can say, boy, now I see what God was doing. Now I know what He was doing. How many can say, you've had something like that in your life? Would you raise your hand and hold it high? Absolutely. It was something that you wept over, but now you rejoice over. Because you see the work of God. But there are some things that you'll never know. And when God answers, when God does not answer your why, you must rest that He loves you. Jeremiah 31:3, I love this. The Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, this is a great verse, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, let's be honest tonight. You know, it's easy to love certain people, is it not? I mean, it's just easy. Some people, it's easy to like. We have no problem at all showing affection and admiration to those that are easy to love. People that are that stir our hearts and people that are a blessing to us and encouragement to us. I mean, people that when you see them, you're like, oh good, they're here. But what about the ones that are just hard to love? What about the ones that you're not really excited to see? And we all have that. We understand that. Now, I want you to think just for a moment. Now, think of that thought, and I want you to think of this. You may have grown up in a very wicked home and maybe even had wicked parents. You may have grown up in a society and a family life that was so wicked and vile. But I want you to know something. God loves those wicked people as much as He loves you. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's one of the things that's really hard for us as humans to comprehend. It's really hard for us to think about someone that is so wicked and vile and detestable, and we think of their sin and their evil and all of that, and to believe that God really loves them, but He does. In fact, you know what's helped me? It's helped me to deal with people to know that they are made in the image of God, just like I am. And God made them. Now, God never, He does not author people's sin. He never approves of wrongdoing. But that person and you and I are loved of God. You see, there has never been a time in your life when God did not love you or like you. And there will never be a time in your life. You see, look, let's just be honest, all right? There may be times in your life that you have loved certain people because you didn't even know about those certain people, you know? I mean, let's just be honest with it. But God is the past, present, and the future. There has never been a time when God did not love you. And there will never be a time when God will stop loving you. So tonight, when God does not answer your why, you must rest that you are loved by God. Number two, when we think about this thought of when God does not answer our whys, number two, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Take your Bibles, go to Isaiah chapter 55. Now, by the way, remember something. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he does a really good job at it. I mean, he accuses us to God. We know that according to the Bible. He accuses you to other people to you. I mean, the devil works hard at that. He accuses us. I mean, look, how many would be honest and say this, all right? Let's just be honest. I'm going to raise my hand to help us, okay? But how many would say that you have thought before that someone was upset at you and found out later they were not upset at you? Would you raise your hand, hold it high? Very good. Guess who did that? The devil. He put that thought in your mind. He accused that person to you. He made you think. You see, the devil loves to sow strife and discord in family members, in friendships, in churches. He's good at what he does. And folks, tonight, we must rest on this confidence that we are loved of God and that God's thoughts are not my thoughts. And God's ways are not my ways. Isaiah chapter 55, and look at this, verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, God does not think like we think. In fact, we are bound by certain limitations in our thinking, are we not? Do you know that your human wisdom and your human ingenuity and your experience is limited, but God's experience is never limited? God's knowledge is never limited. God knows everything. He knows the past, present, and future. You and I can't see that. I can't see that all at once, but God does. And brethren, tonight, when God does not answer your why, rest on the fact that He loves you. He loves you with an unbelievable love, but He loves you, an everlasting love. But God doesn't think like you think. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we want God to come around to our way of thinking. We kind of have this thought, Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me. But folks, tonight, it doesn't have to make sense to you and me. Because our wisdom and our knowledge is so limited. One of the biggest problems is trying to squeeze God into some man-made image. We try to make God into our image and bring Him into our way of thinking, imagining that God works the same way that we work. But God doesn't work the same way you work. You see, folks, tonight, there are many things in life that I look at and I think, Lord, I would have never chosen that, but God chose it for me. I would have never chosen that path, but God chose that path. And we think, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. But brethren, tonight, God's ways are higher than our ways. And if we are going to deal with this question, why, we must learn that God loves us and that God does not think the way that we think. Number three, when God does not answer your why, remember this, that God's ways are not your ways. You see, we think the way to work out our problems is with might and power and wisdom and make it happen and get it through. But folks, God is able to do anything that He pleases in any way that He pleases to do it. Now, I want to stop and say this to you. You know, God has blessed at Mechanicsburg High School in such a, really, we call it the miracle at Mechanicsburg, all right? And I'm just be honest with you. I can't explain that to you. I've had guys call me and ask me, hey, can you, and I'll just be honest with you. I can't explain it. But God has opened a door. Do you see, there ought to be things in your life and in my life that God does that we just can't explain because that is supernatural. I mean, hey, can you explain the supernatural? I can't explain it, and neither can you explain it. And there are things that God is doing in our lives that we really cannot say, this is why this is happening, because His ways are not our ways. God is such greater in His wisdom. And by the way, His wisdom is perfect. You know that God is not learning anything. He knows everything. He has all knowledge. Number three, God's ways are not our ways. Number four, here's something else. The Lord is not on our timetable. Now take your Bibles and go to 2 Peter chapter 3 because I want to show this to you. Now, how many would be honest with me and say, this may not be you, but how many be honest that you get impatient in traffic? Would you raise your hand and hold it high? All right, you can put your hands down. How many be honest, you get impatient with people driving in front of you that are going below the speed limit, all right? Would you raise your hand, all right? There should be a law against it, all right? How many get impatient if you're waiting in drive-through for a fast food restaurant or whatever? You have to wait at least 2 minutes. It's really bad, all right? You know something? Human nature is we're impatient people. And I am to blame, my goodness, more than anything, you know? I'm to blame. And sometimes I'm in front of someone in line and they're trying to get money out. And I've been tempted to say, I'll pay for it. Just go, all right, you know? Just go, please, you know? And we laugh about things like that. But we're impatient, are we not? But you know something? God doesn't work on your timetable and neither on my timetable. We think certain things like, God, this needs to happen now. But the truth of the matter is, you and I, we want our problem solved now. And so often, God is not finished doing a work in our heart. You see, 2 Peter chapter 3, now I'm going to give you the context of this, and then I want to show you something. 2 Peter 3, verse number 9, the Bible says this, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That's so important. God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now we know this is talking about something in the future coming, but that verse 9 there, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Do you know what some of us have done? We have considered that God is late. God's slack concerning His promise, as some men count that. And brethren, tonight, be careful about counting and determining that God is late. Now look, I believe in my life that God is hardly on time or hardly early, but He is always on time in your life. You know that often in my life, God often has not been early, but He has always been right on time. Because God doesn't work on our timetable. And I want you to listen to this. God is able to do things over a period of time that we never thought could be accomplished. But the time, you know, we think, God, this got to happen now. But God says, no, I'm not ready. And by the way, you're not ready. In fact, do you know so often if God gave us what we thought we needed at that moment, we couldn't handle it. We think we can handle it, but we are not ready to handle it. You see, think tonight about things in your life that you asked God for, but you knew you were not ready for them later on in life. Now, let me give this illustration, probably not the best one, but God put a burden in my heart to pastor, but it was 5 years before I became a pastor. I was a youth director, and I love that. I still love working with young people. But God put a burden in my heart. I knew what God had called me to do. But for 5 years, can I tell you what I thought? Lord, this is taking too long. The Lord's slack concerning His promise. God had put a burden in my heart. He had told me that He wanted me in the depths of my soul to be a pastor, but it took 5 years. And I didn't understand that. But God was working. And folks, tonight, God is not late in your life. He's at work. Number five, the last thing that we notice tonight, when God does not answer your why, number five, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and close and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, let me say this to you as kindly as I can, and I'm really saying it to myself. Demanding an answer from God is just like saying, Lord, I must have sight of this thing. You see, if we must have an answer for every question that we have in life, we are actually saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to live by sight. I don't want to live by faith. I cannot live unless God lets me know why. I must be able to see why. But brethren, tonight, God has designed your Christian life and my Christian life that it must be lived by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to what? To please Him. Do you know tonight that you and I cannot please God without faith? And we think sometimes that that faith is only referring to trusting God to do something great or something mighty. But so often that faith is not demanding an answer when we have a why. Now look here, I don't believe it's wrong to ask why, as long as we are asking the Lord Jesus why. But oftentimes you and I are asking others why. And we're complaining to others, why? Why did God do this? And I've had people, good people, sincere people say to me, I will never understand why God did this to me. And their answer is an accusation against God. Their question is, God failed me in some way. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and let's begin in verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say. Notice that word confident, I say. And willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Folks, tonight, God has designed your life and my life that we are to walk by faith. What God wants us to find out is that our answer is the person of Jesus Christ and our dependence on Him. Look here, if you have something tonight, and I don't know if that you do, but if you have something tonight that you have a question, why did God allow this or why did God do this? Why? If that is in your heart tonight, you ought to bring that to the Lord and say, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to trust You for it. You see, that's faith. That's not saying, God, I have to have an answer for this. God, I want to see a reason for this before I'm going to trust You. That's not faith. That's not trust. That's not dependence. If everything we depend on does not turn out the way that we think it should happen or the thing that we hope for, we can still have victory because of Jesus Christ tonight. Listen, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who changes not. Listen, we need to be willing tonight to admit to people and to God that we don't have the answers. But tonight, we need to stop trying to get an answer and start looking for the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There are things that in my life that I don't have the answer, but Jesus Christ knows why. And I'm resting in the fact that Jesus knows why. I don't know why, but I'm trusting in Him. Why? Because I'm loved of God. I'm loved of Him. And God's ways are higher than my ways. And His thoughts are greater than my thoughts. And I don't think like God. And folks, tonight, that's where we must come to. Stop trying to get the answer and look to Jesus and say, Lord, You have the answer and I'm resting in You. That's what I believe the Bible talks about, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know what? Some of us have burdens and cares, and some of it's because we don't know why. Cast that on God. In the sense, we roll it upon the Lord. In a sense, we are saying, God, I don't know why. I don't understand why. But You know why, and You have all things in control, and I'm believing You. And I'm trusting in You. So tonight, we get our eyes off of ourselves. We get our eyes. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Sometimes the devil plays this trick on me to where the devil says, well, God didn't have anything to do with it. That's your fault. That's your sin. And you're to blame for that. Brethren, even that we cast on Jesus Christ. You see, tonight it is getting our thoughts off of ourselves and off our mistakes and our failures and off of where we have failed others. And we turn to Jesus Christ, who fails not. He is the faithful God. He is true. He is everlasting. We turn to Him and hear Habakkuk. I mean, think of this man. He's burdened for his nation. And he says, why? Well, you know what, Habakkuk? We know the theme of the book of Habakkuk is the just shall live by his faith. That's where he came to. Is where I don't have the answer, but Jesus has the answer. I don't know why, but God sees it all. I can't explain it, but the Lord has it in perfect control. That's where we come to. And tonight, when God does not answer your why, you can still have victory. You can still have joy. You can still have peace in life. By the way, you think about Mary and Joseph Christmas time. Do you think they had some whys? Do you not think that maybe Mary thought, Lord, there would have been a better way for this to come about? But that's how God brought it about. We think, Lord, that doesn't make any sense. But in the foreknowledge of God, God orchestrated all of that with Mary and Joseph. And brethren, tonight, trust in His knowledge. Trust in His wisdom. Trust that He is working all things together. Trust that God is doing all of these things in your life. Even though you don't know why, look to Him by faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer.